The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
People generally get in touch in great numbers when we talk about the school meals, the hot school meals. So the scheme up and running for the last couple of years now, and it is not up and running in our school. So I just have to go on what I hear by way of feedback often on this show when we talk about it. And I mean, the feedback generally is mixed. There are people who sing its praises and they say, listen, it's great. No more rushing around trying to get lunchboxes ready in the morning. Just get the uniform on, out the door, and they come home fed and watered. Other people have issues with it. They talk about the food quality, about the nutritional value, about the choice or lack thereof in their own particular school. One specific area that we want to focus in on today is to do with people who have celiac disease. So Jill Brennan is with me, who's a strategy and advocacy lead with the Celiac Society of Ireland. Jill, people who are celiac, children who are celiac, how are they catered for with the hot school meals?
Hi, Kieran, and thanks for having me on. Currently not very well. Children with celiac disease are currently not very well catered for with this new hot school meals programme, which was introduced, I suppose, or extended 2 years ago. And really what the issue is that there's no oversight of the programme in relation to the ingredients or the contents or the nutritional contents of the meals that are being provided, with the result that you will find that there's a lot of meals that are actually going out to schools that are have a lot of gluten in them, which means then if you have a child who's a celiac in the class, whether they're symptomatic or asymptomatic, they can't participate. So they're Paddy, little man or old, a little woman sitting in the corner on their own, not being able to participate in the hot school meals programme with their friends.
And as you kind of gave that answer, it struck me, I didn't even ask for people at home maybe who have no exposure to this in their family or maybe through friends or anything else. And they'll just kind of be vaguely aware of what it is. So what impact does gluten have on somebody who's celiac?
Right, so celiac disease is an autoimmune chronic illness. And what that means is, for some of us who don't know what chronic illness is, it's a long-term, lifetime illness and there is no cure. So what happens when somebody ingests gluten is that it attacks the lining of your intestine. And that means that you're unable to absorb nutrients, which means then that you can go on to have terrible issues in relation to things like osteoporosis, infertility, anemias, lack of iron in your blood. And for children, what it is particularly damaging for is their growth and development. And as a father yourself, you know growth is not about their strong bones and how high they're making the notches on the door frame. It's about the brain development. And that is a significant issue for children with celiac disease. You'll find children falling asleep in class, terrible fatigue, can't concentrate, complaining of terrible brain fog and not being able to function. It's a real problem.
And because of all those things, parents of these kids go to great lengths to make sure that they are kind of fed and watered in a way that is safe. And I do know people who deal with this and they've got the second oven or whatever it happens to be. And you know, great effort goes in at home. And the complaint is, when it comes to the free school meals, it's more of a one size fits all. Is that
pretty much? You see, the real issue, Kieran, is with cross contamination, because only a small amount of gluten will cause damage.
Which is
to the
why
lining.
The second oven exists.
Exactly, and that's why we have separate toasters, and why you can't prepare a sandwich with your ordinary sliced loaf with the gluten free sliced loaf beside it. So you know, this one size fits all from the hot school meals program is just not fit for purpose. I mean, they specifically go out of their way to cater for vegans and vegetarian and people with cultural or dietary religious needs, but not for celiacs. There is a 14-page document that the department have constantly come back to, which is about nutritional standards in the hot food meals program. And it specifically states, you know, you have to have your type of fibre, your fruit, your vegetables. But there are three lines dedicated to allergies, not even celiac disease, but allergies, and a written web link that's not clickable unless you actually type it in. So there's this 14-page document that actually the standards are not fit for purpose when it comes to celiac children.
How big a job would it be to cater for them? I'm just thinking of the preparation areas in schools, or schools that don't have a preparation area and the things arrive hot in the back of a van.
Well, you see, it's not. That's the whole point. It's what it is it's awkward. But it's not difficult, because, I mean, we are currently working with three of the providers of the school meals programme who want to work with us this summer to help them and get our input into preparing separate production areas for the meals. And some of those providers, the other thing they do is they actually pre-assemble the food and then put it out as the meal to the school. So when they're taking in, say, the mashed potato or the chicken breast or whatever, they have to ensure that where they're getting that from is not actually it's gluten-free as well, that it's no hint of cross-contamination. Mm. So we're working with those providers over the course of this year to actually help them provide safe foods for celiacs.
And this is part of the issue, though, isn't it, is that it's a kind of a patchwork system around the country. It's different providers in different areas and different. That's why people have different experiences.
Well, you see,
when we talk about it, the texts we get in, and they're already coming in, you know, people who think it's brilliant and they talk about the offers they have in their school, and then somebody in another school, not necessarily that far away, completely different experience.
You see, this is the problem, Kieran. You're rolling out a hot school meals programme to schools nationwide. This is a programme that is currently being funded by the Department of Social Protection. The Department of Health didn't know the Department of Social Protection were doing this. I'm not even sure the Department of Education knew the Department of Social Protection were doing this. Somebody decided in the Department of Social Protection that they were going to leave a legacy by having a hot school meals programme under their watch. But nobody thought about the joined up thinking on this, or the oversight, or where taxpayers' money was going, how it was going to be spent, how it was going to be nutritionally provided to the schools and for the children. And it just sounds to me like somebody decided, Asher, we'll do it, and didn't think about how it was going to be done.
Well, stay with us, Jill, because Alison Mainprise is on the line as well, who's a parent and former paediatric dietitian as well, as happens to be the case. So, Alison, from a parental point of view, what's your experience been of the hot school meals?
So, from my point of view, my children were only getting the school meals during the pilot, which in our school started in September 2019. This continued about the following April and then started again about this time last year. And so in the initial period with my children at primary school, going back to 2019, 2020, I didn't have a child in my family diagnosed with celiac disease. Fast forward to now, I have three of my four children diagnosed with celiac disease, and my fourth child is a little girl with Down syndrome, so she's quite likely, with her history, to possibly develop it at a later date. But she also requires another type of diet that is not currently being catered for, and that's a texture-modified diet. So from my perspective as a parent, I've seen this scheme from the get-go. I saw right in the beginning when it was being rolled out to the 30 pilot schools how it was all about providing hot meals in theory, but not giving any consideration to nutrition or the nutritional needs of children from the age of 4 to 13, because that's wide and varying just that in terms of portion size, etc. And then adding into the mix all the different dietary needs of a diabetic, celiac, and a child like my little girl who needs a texture-modified diet. So I then looked at the nutrition standards, realised there actually weren't any back in September 2019. There wasn't anything. I myself contacted the Department of Social Protection, complained about this, saying, how do you expect schools to choose, you know, from a menu, not knowing A, what the ingredients are, and B, whether this is actually suitable for a certain category of child, because we don't have any standards.
Yeah.
And ended up speaking to a lady in Healthy Ireland about it. And together we adapted a set of nutritional standards that were being used in DESH schools for providing hot lunches at the time. Very crudely, one phone call, and those guidelines were meant as interim guidelines. And I have that in writing. They were interim nutritional standards. They were never meant to continue 5 years on as the gold standard that they're hailed as by the Department of Social Protection now. So I have actually, I've written to the Department of Social Protection. I have written to all the different government bodies. I've spoken to people. I have put in a complaint to the Ombudsman for Children's Office about this, because there's no protections there. And I don't believe that bodies like the Food Safety Authority of Ireland can possibly stand over the food safety of these meals, particularly for children with celiac disease. We cannot say, hand on heart, that the meals that are currently being served to children with celiac disease are gluten-free and hence will not cause harm. And I don't say that lightly. I mean that when I say that for children in Ireland with celiac disease right now, there is the potential for harm in the meals that are being served.
Jill Brennan is still with us. Jill?
Yeah, I just wanted to pick up on something that Alison pointed out there around the nutritional standards. I mean, there were apparently three bodies involved in the development of these standards. The Healthy Ireland Initiative, the FSAI and Safe Food. And Safe Food actually contacted me only 3 weeks ago to say that they are only now hoping to produce a resource for primary schools in Ireland to assist them in accommodating the needs of food hypersensitivity in children. And I was told that the provision of these hot school meals then will almost certainly be one of the issues that will be addressed by Safe Food in this context of the specific needs of children with food allergy, intolerance or celiac disease. And Kieran, this goes back to what I just said a few minutes ago. This programme was launched with no thought. There was no real thought put into it. And we have, as Alison has said, she has that email that says those standards were an interim set of standards. And this directly from Safe Food saying that they're only now hoping to produce a resource for primary schools. How can you do that?
And what would you say then, Jill, to people, and they will get in touch as well, saying, you know, what's the big deal? Just make the food yourself if you don't like the free school meal.
Well, why should you miss out? You pay taxpayers' money. Your child is entitled to this food just as much as any other child is entitled to the food. Why should your child miss out if it's a celiac child or it has other dietary requirements as Alison's children do, some of them do have? We pay taxpayers' money in this country. The country is awash with money and they can't get this bloody programme right.
Colm in Cork says, all very fine to be talking about the school meals, but the budget is minuscule as well. Japan has the finest ones in the world, all cooked on-site with fresh food, leading to a healthy young population. We need to see how much waste there's going to be when this rolls out right across the country. I'm sure it will be significant. And somebody else says, children with allergies as well need to be considered, along with those with celiac disease. Allergens can cause immediate medical emergencies. And Jerry says, my two kids, more often than not, come home with the school meal untouched, and I'm not surprised they look awful and ultra processed. Jerry's not the only one to make that point. But listen, if you fall into this category, be it an allergy or whether you have celiac disease or the kids do, and you've got a view on this, I want to hear it. 087 1400 106. Jill Brennan is the strategy and advocacy lead with the Celiac Society of Ireland, and Alison Mainprize is a parent and former paediatric dietitian. Alison and Jill, thanks a million for joining us here on the show.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.